Well, good morning, friends. Happy good morning live. Happy Tuesday or Wednesday. Where are we at? I don't know what's going on. But anyway, I'm glad you're with me today, whatever day of the week it is. And we're getting ready to jump into the word this morning. But before we do, comment in, let me know where you're watching from. Good morning, Lindsay. Good to see you. And yeah, chat in, let me know where you're watching from. It's going to be a good morning. Amen. We got so much happening at Hope City Church this week. Don't forget that tonight, Wednesday night. Yeah, it is Wednesday. Tonight, Wednesday night, we have our midweek service. So that's always been powerful that the Lord's directed us to do that. So be sure to be here, be a part of that. It's going to be incredible. And then, of course, do not forget that we have Revival Weekend happening this Saturday night at 7 p.m. and Sunday morning at 10. You don't want to miss either service. It's going to be incredible. Amen. So we have been on a journey. Good morning, Cheryl. Good to see you. Talking about the blessing of God. Now, I don't know 100%, but I am pretty sure that we are going to have to stretch this thing out. Good morning, Tracy. Good to see you. Over 2 weeks, because just yesterday, I barely got done day one's notes. There's so much in this and so much that God wants to say and do through this that I think we can grab hold of. So we're going to get through as much of it as we can. But what we discovered over the last 2 days is that the blessing is the first thing that God offered to humanity, offered to Adam and Eve right there in the garden. He said, hey, I created mankind and then I blessed them, which it was his empowerment for them to do what it is that he asked them and called them to do, which was be fruitful and multiply. And so we discovered that that was God's original intent for humanity, was to live in light of his blessing. It's to live under that favor and that essence that attracts the blessings and the favor of God on our lives. Of course, Adam and Eve, hey, Jen, good to see you. Adam and Eve lost that blessing and due to sin. So the Lord established a covenant with Abraham and said, you know, I'm gonna bless you. And we see that even Abraham's descendant, Isaac, sowed in famine, but reaped a hundredfold. How can that happen? It's a result of the blessing being on his life, that even though he was in a cursed world, even though that because the earth was still cursed, there was still famine, right? Why do bad things still happen in the earth today? Because the earth is still cursed, right? But Isaac, as a result of receiving the blessing, could sow in famine, could live in a cursed earth, but still reap a hundredfold return. Why? Not because of his intelligence, not because of his own works, not because he was some kind of genius, but because the blessing of God was on his life. And because he had the blessing, he could sow even in famine, even in the presence of a cursed earth, and still reap a harvest. So we see that yesterday we looked at Galatians that said, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, that the blessing of Abraham might come on us, the Gentiles, through Jesus Christ. Again, Christ not only forgave our sins, right? That if he only did that, that would have been enough. Good morning, Haley. Good to see you. But he not only forgave our sins, but he restored the blessing. The blessing that he gave to Abraham, the blessing that he gave to Adam, he restored it back into the life of the believer, right? So now, again, we still live in a cursed earth. There's still all kind of crazy stuff happening, but the blessing has been restored back to the life of the believer. So what should we begin to expect? We should expect good things to happen. We should expect the blessing to work in our life, right? So that's what we have gone through kind of the last 2 days. And I want to look at real quick this morning, Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 through 14. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 through 14. And this is really what the blessing is and what it gives to us. So listen to this. Now, it will be that if you will diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments, which I am commanding you today, Then the Lord will God will set you on high above the nations of the earth, and all the blessings. What is it? All the blessings. Hey, good morning, Sue. Good to see you. All the blessings will come on you and overtake you if you will listen to the voice of the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city, blessed in the field. Your offspring will be blessed, and the produce of your ground and the offspring of your livestock, the increase of your herd and the flocks of your sheep, your baskets and your kneading bowl will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies. Come on, this is good. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They will come against you one way, but flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on your barns, and in all that you set your hands to do, he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he swore to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. All the people of the earth will shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. The Lord will make you overflow in prosperity, in the offspring of your body, in the offspring of your livestock, in the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give to you. The Lord will open up to you his good treasures, the heaven to give rain to your land in the season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You will lend to many nations, but you will not borrow. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You will only be above and you will not be beneath. Come on, that sounds like some good things, right? So I know that's a long portion of scripture, but I you know, this is kind of the foundation of what we're talking about. So I knew I wanted to just read that out in one of these lives. But let me give you just kind of a quick synopsis of some of the blessings that the Lord's talking about here. Number one, verse three, he says, favor in your city, favor in your country. Verse four, he goes on to say that you'll be blessed in your family and your productivity. Verse five, there'll be provision and overflow. Verse seven, divine protection, victory over your enemies. Come on, abundant resources, open heavens and answered prayers, that he would give you leadership and influence. Come on, this is the blessing that God has already, again, we're going back to the same comparison as forgiveness, because that's what was provided on the cross. So the blessing was also provided at the cross. These blessings are already provided for you, already done, already made a way at the cross. Well, why don't I see them? Why don't I receive them? Because we're not receiving them by faith, and our expectation isn't always attached. Again, as I said yesterday, and I don't want to spend a lot of time going back over that, but as I said yesterday, if you aren't receiving and expecting forgiveness in your life, if you're walking around saying, well, I'm not forgiven, I'm still a sinner, and I'm not forgiven, guess what? You haven't received by faith the finished work of the cross, therefore you aren't forgiven. But forgiveness is given and applied into the life of the believer when we reach out by faith and receive it. So the same thing works when it comes to receiving the blessing that was already provided for us as a result of the cross. So my question for you today, ready? What are you expecting? What are you expecting? There's a lot packed into that scripture of the blessing. So what is it that you are expecting? Are you expecting more of the same? Come on, the Lord's been dealing with me on this. Are you expecting more of the same? But if you are receiving the blessing, come on, and you almost are visualizing yourself walking with the blessing of God surrounding you, then my expectation for my day shifts. Again, we talked about this. It's going to rain on the just and the unjust. But the difference maker is that the blessing is applied to my life, right? So I'm going to walk around and I'm going to start expecting breakthrough, right? Like, it doesn't mean the challenge isn't going to come, but when it does, I'm going to expect a breakthrough. I'm going to expect God to turn this in my favor. I'm going to expect miracles. I'm going to expect debts to be paid unexpectedly. I'm going to expect a blessing and quick turnarounds to come into my life. Why? Because I have the blessing of God on me. I'm going to expect favor. I'm going to expect my enemies to like me. I'm going to expect people to like me. I'm going to expect provision. I'm going to expect healing to be made manifested in my life. Why? It is a result. It is an outworking of the blessing of God that was provided for me at the cross. I heard it said this way: expectation is faith in motion. Expectation is faith in motion. Listen, what you expect is what you prepare for. What you expect is what you prepare for. What you prepare for. I'm preparing for the blessing of God. I'm preparing for the favor for God. I'm preparing for quick turnarounds. I'm preparing for healing to come into my body. I'm preparing for divine God encounters. I'm preparing for influence. Why? Jesus provided it at the cross. He provided the blessing, right? Listen to Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance, which means the tangibility of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, right? So hope is future-focused faith. It gives faith direction. Why have faith? Well, I have faith in what? I have faith in what I'm hoping for, right? What is hoping for is expectation, right? So I can, whatever I'm expecting to happen in my life, that is what I'm literally hoping for and attaching my faith to. Now, just listen, I need this today. Whatever I'm expecting in my life is what my hope and faith, that's what I'm hoping for, and that's what's giving the direction to my faith, right? So if I am expecting a bad report, if I'm waiting for the next shoe to drop, if I'm expecting, just another one of those days, I'm expecting, you know, my spouse, they're always this way. You know, we're never going to get out of this cycle. Come on. I am literally hoping for that to happen in my life. That is the direction that my hope is giving direction to my faith. So what do I got to do? I got to start hoping different. I got to start expecting different. I got to start walking around and saying, you know what? We might have come through some hard seasons in marriage. We might have come through hard seasons relationally. You know, my children, you know, things may not look great for them right now and their walk with the Lord, but I have an expectation. I have faith that as a result, it said my offspring would be blessed. I have expectation and faith that the circle in my family will be unbroken. I have expectation in my faith that they will come to the saving knowledge of the grace of Jesus Christ. Come on, I was listening, or heard a TikTok today, and it talked about how there is one thing in this earth that we can take to heaven. It's not your house. It's not your car. It's not your influence. It's not your money. It's not your job. But the one thing on this earth that you can take to heaven is your children. I heard that today. I thought, man, that is so powerful in, the aspect that we get to play a part. And obviously, you know, all life comes from God, but that we get to play a part in producing our offspring and being gifted to raise these children that the Lord gives us. But they are the only thing that we can bring into heaven with us that is ours, right? But I thought about that. I thought, man, what a different perspective on our efforts and our time and our prayers and our energy, right? And sometimes, you know, we can look at our kids, especially if they're older and they've walked away from the Lord, or, you know, they're struggling in an area of their life, and we can just, you know, be down in the mouth and speaking about them and their struggle and what they're going through. And I don't know why, you know, they always have this attitude, and not, you know, they're never this and blah, 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 fill in the blank, right? But what we're doing is really we're attaching our expectation and our hope that this is the reality and this is how it will always be. No, I got to get back into Deuteronomy where it says, my offspring will be blessed. Everything that I touch is blessed. Come on. I have expectation and I have faith that in my life, the circle will be unbroken, that my children will serve the Lord. My children will enter the gates of heaven. I understand that my storehouse is going to be blessed and my home is blessed and the field. I appreciate all that. But at the end of the day, all that stays here. And when I go up, right? But my kids, man, do you expect, I want to read it one more time because I feel like this is a word for somebody today. Your offspring, this is in verse 4, will be blessed. Your offspring will be blessed. And it goes even to say your livestock, the offspring of your livestock will be blessed. But your offspring will be blessed. Just as much as I have expectation for me to walk in the blessing of God, I have expectation that my offspring will be blessed. My offspring will be saved. My offspring will receive the inheritance of salvation. My offspring will know God. My offspring will follow the plan and the purpose of God. Come on, somebody. So we have to expect. That's how we take hold of the promises of God. You think of in Mark 5, there's a story of the woman with the issue of blood. And, you know, she pressed through that crowd and touched the hem of his garment. What was the difference maker between her and all of the crowd that was around Jesus and touching him? If you go back to the beginning of that verse in Mark 5, the verse says, she said within herself, if I but touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. Before she ever got to Jesus, before she ever crawled through the crowd, before she ever touched the hem of his garment, what did she do? She changed her expectation. The reality is her expectation probably should have been, every doctor in the land has said there's nothing more that they can do. I have spent all my money and all my resource trying to get healed of this disease, and there's just nothing else. What can this Jesus man do? I have seen the best of the best, and they all have the same conclusion. So why, with my frail, sick body, would I put every ounce of energy to press through that crowd and to touch the hem? Why? Like, come on, that's what most of us would how we would approach the situation. And that's how most of them gathered around Jesus probably approached the situation, because they were all touching him and received nothing. But the power of that verse is when, in the beginning, when it says, she said within herself, if I but touch the hem of his garment, her expectation to receive released the provision, released the power. Come on. So her expectation pulled power from Jesus. This is why often when Jesus would perform signs and wonders and miracles in scripture, he would often ask, what do you want me to do for you? Like there was one point where he asked a blind man, what is it that you want me to do? And you know, when you read that verse of scripture a little bit, you're like, well, I mean, Jesus, it should be obvious. Who asked a blind person, you know, if you're the healer, why would you ask a blind person, what do you want me to do for you? Pretty self-explanatory, Jesus. But it wasn't that Jesus didn't know. It wasn't that Jesus was like, oh, you're blind? I didn't know. Like, come on. What he was trying to do was he was trying to get them to express, trying to shift in their thinking, what is it that you want? What is it that you are expecting to happen here? Did you just come and see this, you know, in his case, not see, but did you come just because you heard about this miracle worker? Did you come, you know, because you wanted to find out what was going on? Or are you coming because you are expecting something to happen? Expectation pulls the blessing of God. It's already been provided for at the cross. We don't have to beg for it. We don't got to try to earn it, but expectation pulls the blessing of God into our life, right? That's why Jesus said, what is it that you want me to do for you? He was checking their expectation level. Philippians 1:20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope. What do you want done for you? I want done according to my earnest expectation and my hope. Listen, you do not rise to the level of your desire. You rise to the level of your expectation. You don't rise to the level of your desire. You rise to the level of your expectation. Come on, somebody. So expectation reaches into the supernatural and it pulls it into our reality. So when we're talking about the blessing and we're talking about receiving what Christ, Galatians says, what Christ died to give us, what are we expecting? I know this is a challenge for some of us because we've had so many patterns and so many ways of thinking, in our minds and in our thought processes. We have those neural pathways, if you will, that have been formed over years of negative thinking and wrong thinking and wrong expectation. But come on, we're breaking this today. We're getting victory in this area today. I'm not walking around, in an essence of pride. Well, things are going to work in my favor because don't you know who? No. I'm walking around because I'm expecting to receive what Christ died to give me at the cross. I'm going to read it one more time because I think it's so good. But Galatians, remember, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law that the blessing of Abraham might come on us, the Gentiles. So my expectation, even, and I love what Deuteronomy, what we just read there. He says, even in the realm of our adversaries, they might come in before you one way, but they're fleeing seven ways. Come on, that's why the apostles would say, I count it all joy. I consider it all joy when these trials and temptations come my way. Hey, it's going to produce something greater in me. It's going to produce greater patience and perseverance. I'm going to grow in my integrity. I'm going to grow in the fruit of the Spirit. I'm going to be stronger on the other side of it. But it also echoes the words of David, where he said, the Lord will prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Come on. So my expectation is, come on, the enemy's coming in. It's going to flee seven ways. Pastor Parsley used to teach that, when the enemy comes in, we read that scripture because sometimes our expectation is wrong. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against him. And we kind of frame that, well, the enemy's coming in and it's like a flood and it's big. But I heard Pastor Parsley say, when the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Do you see how that one comma literally changes our expectation? Well, yeah, the enemy's coming in like a flood. I mean, this is going to be bad. The economy's going to be bad. The world's going bad. Again, we talked about we live in a cursed world. But the blessing is restored back onto me. I have the blessing. I've received the blessing. So when the enemy comes in, like a flood. When he comes in one way, he will flee before me seven different ways. So what's the report? What's the expectation that you heard? What is the thing that you've been really struggling to kind of break through in that area of expectation? Come on, faith pulls the blessing into our reality. So we got to attach our faith to receive the blessing. Again, already provided at the cross. We're not begging God for the blessing. We're not trying to get it through good works. Already provided, just like forgiveness, already provided at the cross. We're now learning to extend our faith through expectation to grab a hold of the promises of God and pull them into our reality. What manifests in the natural is always first birthed in the supernatural. But how do we get it out of the supernatural and into the natural? Through the arm of faith, through the arm of our expectation. We grab hold of the promises of God. Come on. That's why David said, I would have despaired. I would have given up and I would have quit. I would have walked away. I would have shut this whole thing down. I know I'm preaching to somebody in the room this morning. I would have shut this whole thing down, right? Like in our with my sister, we have this little image that we have sent back and forth, and it's of a guy laying on like a really trashed out place, and like he's just laying on this burnt out couch. He's a total mess. And I saw it on social media a long time ago, and I said, isn't this the picture, a perfect picture of what giving up just looks like? And at some days it's like, you know what? I'm just giving up. I'm gonna go lay on my burned out couch without a care in the world. And why the couch was burned out, I don't know. But that just even gave more emphasis to the picture of, I don't know what happened in his life, but it was pretty dramatic, right? And yet we all have days where it's like, man, I'm going to walk. And that's what David says. I would have despaired unless I had believed, unless my expectation was attached to seeing the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I would have quit. I would have walked away. But no, I expected to see the goodness of God. I expected to see the blessing of God manifested in my life. I expected it. I expect it. When a bad report comes, I expect a turnaround. When the enemy comes in, like a flood, I expect God to raise up a standard against him. I expect him to come in one way, but flee before me seven ways. I expect peace with my enemies. I expect favor. I expect my offspring to be blessed. I expect everything I put my hand to do to be blessed. Come on, are you with me today? I need a church in the room this morning. So what have you been expecting in your life today? And where have you, maybe you can identify a pattern in your life that, you know what, this is what I've been saying. This is what I've been saying about that situation. This is what I've been saying about my job. This is what I've been saying about my spouse or my children, my family. This is what I've been communicating. Come on, we capture those thoughts and we render them helpless. We capture those negative ways, those negative neural pathways in our mind. And we say no. I'm going to read it one more time. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, that the blessing of Abraham might come on us. I'm expecting to see today the blessing of God manifested in my life. I'm expecting it. So Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for every person who's been on this live today, watching, listening, Lord, and maybe we can identify those areas of our lives where we haven't been attaching our faith. We've been expecting the shoe to drop. We've been expecting the bad report. Lord, I understand that sometimes trauma and past experiences can open the door for those negative thought patterns to be produced in our life. But in the name of Jesus today, we break the power of those negative thought patterns. We break the power of negative thinking. We break the power of trauma and PTSD that has tried to come in and teach us how to think and teach us how to expect and teach us how people are going to treat us and what our lot is going to be in life. We break the power of that in Jesus' name. And we declare that we expect to receive and walk in the manifested blessing of God in our lives. We expect it. We have anticipation for it. So Lord, whatever negative report, whatever negative thought pattern, whatever thing, Father, that we've been struggling with right now, we repent of negative thinking and we acknowledge in this moment that from this moment on, we will capture every negative thought and we will say, no, that might be for the rest of the world, but for me and my house, come on, we will serve the Lord. It's me and my house. We expect to receive and walk in the divine blessing of God that was provided by Jesus at the cross. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Come on, I hope your faith has been stirred today. I hope that you're leaving this chat full of faith, full of victory. Go out and conquer your day. Go out and conquer your world in Jesus' name. Thanks for being on with me, whether you're watching on social media, whether you're watching on the Pioneer Channel or any of the other million platforms that we're on today. It is so good to be with you. And I do trust that you have been blessed. So do not forget, we've got midweek service tonight at Hope City Church. It's going to be great, as always. And then don't forget, Saturday night, we're going to have Revival Weekend. It's going to be powerful. We announced on Sunday we're going to have the dessert bar at 6 p.m. So if you want to come and get hyped up on sugar and all that, go ahead and do that at 6. 7 o'clock, we're going to kick off, go into the presence of God, and it's going to be an amazing weekend. So don't miss any of it. And of course, tonight we're going to have prayer at 6:30 as we're going to cover all that God's going to do in prayer. So I hope to see you there in Jesus' name. And I'll see you back tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Amen. Be blessed. Go with God. Have an amazing day.